And as we've come out of Thanksgiving, we this year very quickly transition into the idea of Christmas, even a little bit quicker than normal, perhaps. And I'm going to guess that some of you were out on Friday doing some Black Friday shopping, and you were a part of that $7.2 billion on the internet that was spent in one day. And they're actually saying that on Cyber Monday, $9.4 billion will be spent on the internet. Kind of is overwhelming and kind of is a little sad, to be honest, to think that for so many folks, that is what this season is about. I heard another statistic this last week that there would be 750 million packages delivered this season by UPS. 750 million packages. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the significance of Christ in this season. The significance of taking time to remember what it is that we truly come to celebrate at Christmas. And this morning we're going to be starting, for the next 4 weeks or 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the cast of Christmas. And this morning we're going to start by looking at the angels. And we're going to talk about the angels and this proclamation that they have made in the beginning of the book of Luke. So I'm going to have you turn with me to Luke chapter 2. If you're using Pew Bibles, 725 is the page that you'll find it on. We're going to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 13 in just a minute. What we're going to find in this verse is the first thing, if you're taking notes, number one, is that the angels are proclaiming peace for us. They're proclaiming peace. And I think it's kind of interesting that so much of our world will take a moment and just kind of pause for this holiday in the next 24 days, even though many of those people don't really know why they're doing that. Right? People put up their Christmas trees, they put up their Christmas lights, they make these huge meals for family, but they're not truly focusing on Christ. Instead, they're focused on making sure that one of the 750 million packages is theirs that is delivered on time. So it's interesting that so much of the world will pause for a moment, even though they don't know the why piece. But I think that when we look at this proclamation that the angels make, it gives clarity as to the why it is that we come and why it is that we celebrate this Christmas. So as we look at, starting at verse 13 in Luke chapter 2, it says, "A great company of the heavenly host appeared." And it goes on to say, "praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." The angels share this good news of great joy with all the people. And that news is this, that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. It's important for us to remember and to understand that the peace is also a part of that proclamation that the angels make. That the very last sentence, "and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Peace. In the midst of the chaos, peace. Through Jesus, the bearer of our sin, we can have this chaos removed from our lives and a peace offered to our lives. We can now have a relationship with Jesus that gives us peace with our God. This peace comes from faith in Jesus and the forgiveness that follows as a result of that faith in Jesus. If you turn over just a few chapters to chapter 7 in the book of Luke, you're going to find a section that's entitled something about a sinful woman. I don't remember the exact title. But it's a story of a lady that was living in sin. And the story really goes that the Pharisees come across Jesus and they invite Jesus to their house for dinner. And as this lady that was in town that lived a sinful life, the scripture tells us, find out that Jesus is at one of the Pharisees' houses for dinner, she decides that she's going to go to that house and that she's going to anoint his feet and clean his feet. And what we find in this passage is that she does just that. She comes, she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. And then if you jump down to verse 48, we see Jesus' response. And Jesus tells her in verse 48, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then down two verses further, Jesus concludes with these words. He says, "Your faith has saved you." Because of your faith, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Because of the forgiveness of sins, we have peace with God. We're no different than that lady that's talked about in Luke chapter 7. Because of the forgiveness of our sins, your sins, my sins, we can have peace with God. No wonder the angels were rejoicing, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." The angels declared that this peace belongs to those on whom God's favor rests. The Lord's favor rests on those who receive the truth and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And as a result, they pass that truth along to others. So what are we to do with this message of peace? I want us to just think about that question a little bit this morning. I think the first thing we're supposed to do with it is number two, if you're taking notes, passing the peace. See, because Jesus brought us peace with God, one of the greatest responses we can have to this amazing news is to become peace proclaimers in all of our Christmas traditions, preparations, and celebrations. Most families, or at least a lot of families, experience some sort of relational pressures and difficulties during this season that we're moving into right now. In the next 4 weeks, there's going to be a lot of people that don't necessarily normally have these relational issues that they have to deal with in a sense, but they'll have them in these next 4 weeks. Nearly every family gathering has at least that one relative that you got to offer just a little bit of extra grace to, right? Right? And if you can't think of who that relative is, it might be you. For many families, Advent, the Christmas season, actually brings more strife and conflict than less. As believers in Christ, we have a special opportunity to proclaim peace in our families in a similar way to show the same proclamation that the angels made. We can proclaim peace through our actions, through our lives as we interact with our families in the weeks ahead. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, this comes from a section of the scriptures called the Beatitudes. Jesus tells us, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." See, Jesus makes this connection between being a peacemaker and being a follower of Christ, being a child of God. This passage shows us that those who count themselves to be children of God join Him in the work of proclaiming His peace and making peace with others. Let me be clear for a minute. Peacemaking is not the same thing as peacekeeping. These things are worlds apart from each other. Peacemaking and peacekeeping, right? But when Jesus brought us peace with God, He didn't create some uneasy truce. He brought us back into unity and harmony with God. Jesus didn't tolerate us. He restored us. He didn't make a way to endure being with us. He made a way to be near to us and to develop a love relationship with each one of us. Towards the beginning of this year, the United Nations had 16 peacekeeping operations going on around the world. This is how the United Nations explains what they do in these operations. They say, and I quote, "Our peacekeepers help prevent conflict to reduce human suffering, build stable and prosperous societies, and enable people to reach their full potential." Peacekeeping is just preventing people from acting out of hate that might be in their hearts. It tries to prevent conflict and to keep people from destroying each other. The true hope would be that they can move towards peacemaking. Peacemaking, it goes much deeper. Peacemaking is what God did for us through sending Jesus. Peacemaking, it restores relationships. It brings harmony within relationships. It goes beyond just avoiding and separating conflict and brings restoration, relationship, and unity. Jesus made lasting and restorative peace between us and God. He brought a true peace to God. For many of us, the Christmas season is a reminder of the lack of peace that sometimes we have within our family units. Many of us have conflicts with friends, with parents, with children, with brothers, with sisters, where we just want to survive the holidays without the same old fight and antics that we experience every single year. And if that's your situation, I'm sorry for you, because I know that it is so difficult to show your face at another one of those meals, to sit down with that family member, and to go through that. But there's great hope for us. Even if we have that friend, that parent, that child, that brother, that sister, that we're just trying to survive the holiday with, many people are struggling to keep it together and are trying to cling to whatever peace they can hold on to in their own hearts over this time. And that might be you. There's more for you than that this Christmas season. As a son or a daughter of God, you don't have to be a peacekeeper who has to try to survive the holidays. Instead, you can proclaim the good news of Jesus by being a peacemaker who lives, brings, and proclaims a peace that transforms and lasts beyond just a season. Peacekeeping tries to appease, patch together, and keep everybody satisfied, or just quietly disgruntled at least. Peacemaking deals with the underlying issues and brings healing and restoration to a relationship. That's what God's Son did for us. What better way to proclaim and demonstrate what He's done than to do the same in our families and in our relationships? I might suggest that there's no better gift that we could give to God this season than a true effort to do just that. To be peacemakers. In order to do this, we must decide to strive for a deeper peace in our lives. And that's number three. One of the dangers of this season is getting caught up in our traditions. I love the definition I saw of traditions on social media a couple of weeks ago. Acting on peer pressure from dead people. I thought that was kind of funny, that is the definition of traditions. One of the dangers of this season is getting caught up in our traditions and so wrapped up in trying to create this perfect Hallmark picture, perfect time that we forget our real mission. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to have you turn there with me, page 855. James chapter 3. We're going to verse 17. We're reminded in James chapter 3, starting in verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." This season, we should be more concerned, not less concerned, with proclaiming the peace of Jesus. We should be centered on living out the gospel with our friends and our family. We all will make connections and have conversations with people that we don't on a normal basis in the next 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to have those connections. Now is the time to pray for wisdom in those connections. Now is the time to consider how you can proclaim Christ through the way that you say things and the way that you act. Now is the time to be wise, as James describes it, to be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This season, I know that I'm praying that God will give me the wisdom as I interact with friends and family. I'm praying that God will show me how to best proclaim the good news of Jesus by showing me when I should speak up, when I should just let some things go. Will you consider praying the same for yourself? Some family members and friends know how to bait us into unproductive arguments, or maybe even sabotage the holidays through their ability just to create drama. I know it's not in any of our households here. It's kind of like a mouse trap that is set, and there's a really good bait on that trigger, right? And it's just placed in front of us every single time we get together as a family. We want to argue, we want to correct, we want to fight and defend, but it seems like every time we take the bait, rather than changing their minds, we find it just puts us in situations that we don't really want to be in anyways. And in the conversations that we don't really need to have. I remember back when we lived in Kelowna, a couple of years before we moved probably, one day Rachel told me that she had seen a mouse scoot down the steps into the basement of our house. And if you know my wife at all, she does not like mice. She's not a fan. There are no pet mice in our house or any other rodents. And we don't do that. So I got home and I was told that there's a mouse in the basement and it's my job to go get the mouse out of the basement. So we went downstairs and obviously you couldn't find the mouse. So I sat a couple traps that day and the next morning went downstairs, checked, and the traps had been licked clean, but not triggered. So I set a few more traps and again, the same result. And Rachel told me the next time, she said, "Look, you have one day to catch this mouse. And then I'm calling professionals in to come and get this mouse because I am not going to have a mouse living in our basement." So me not wanting to spend, I don't know how much an exterminator costs to come set traps in my basement for me, but probably $100 or more, not wanting to spend that, I went and I bought a whole bunch of traps and I set traps all around the outside of the room. There's probably a dozen of them. And again, we come down and this mouse had to be getting fat because it was just licking all these traps, licking them all clean. Peanut butter off of everyone. So I did some research online and said use Tootsie Rolls, so we got to chew on it. So I did one with a Tootsie Roll on it, and the mouse went for the bait. And when the mouse went for the bait, it had to pay a consequence. Because it wasn't as easy as just licking the trap anymore. Now there is a consequence for it. But you see, the mouse had been drawn into this because the bait looked so good. And the aftermath wasn't worth it. Sometimes that's the way it is with these conversations that take place in our families. The bait looks so important. Like we just need to correct them. We need to make sure that they know that I'm right. But it's just not worth it in the long run. Now, there are times we need to say the hard things. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes the loving thing is to stand up for what is true. But other times the best thing to do is to lay down our need to be right. The loving thing is to avoid taking the bait and getting distracted from the real mission of proclaiming Jesus and sharing the love of God with everybody who is ready and willing to receive it. That's why a peace proclaimer needs the wisdom of heaven. I'm praying that this year you can proclaim His peace to your family and friends like you have never done before, perhaps. Sometimes people want understanding and help. Sometimes they just want to hide behind an argument. I pray that God will give each of us the wisdom and discernment to see the difference and not take the bait that's put out before us. Part of being in a family, or even just in a good relationship, a tight relationship with somebody, is that we bump up against each other sometimes. We see things differently. We do things differently. If you typically have relational struggles during this season, remember that most people aren't born annoying, rude, opinionated, or cruel. They're not. Despite how he acts, even your cousin Eddie was made in God's image. You know that? Right? Remember that people became annoying, rude, opinionated, angry because of what this world throws at them and how they choose to respond to it. The one thing we all share is brokenness. Every single one of us in this world, us in this room, us outside, doesn't matter. We all share brokenness. The one thing we all need is grace. A peacemaker who is working to proclaim Jesus will try to get beyond the rough exterior. A peacemaker will show mercy, remembering that even more than our opinions, everyone ultimately needs Jesus. I've never yet argued a person into a relationship with Jesus. It's never happened. In my 19 years of pastoring, never once argued somebody into a relationship with Jesus. A peacemaker will show mercy and will show love to people. And through that, God can use it to change a person's life. I have seen people through showing them love, respect, kindness, by the grace of God, come into the kingdom. Certainly love can be tough, but sometimes love is just quiet. In the midst of all the traditions, celebrations, and connections that you're going to have this season, don't forget how precious people are to God. Every single one made in the image of God. Even the most belligerent, difficult, draining people are precious to God. So much so that Jesus came to the earth so that they could also have peace with God. And here's the key for the whole day. The key to all this is being peaceful. Before you proclaim peace, you first need to possess it. No one expects you to be perfect. However, it's difficult to proclaim the message of God's peace when you're stressed out, overwhelmed, and exhausted yourself. This begins with us accepting and embracing the peace that we are offered through God. Despite all the talk of peace and grace in Christian circles, how few of us feel like we can just receive the love of God rather than needing to work or to prove our worthiness of it. In the angel's proclamation, We find nothing of our own effort to obtain peace with God. Only the grace of God. We didn't reach our Savior by going up to Him. Rather, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angel says, a Savior was born to you. He came to us. We didn't go to Him. He came to us. We didn't earn His favor. His favor rests on us only because we accepted Jesus Christ and what happened on the cross. In order to better proclaim the peace that God brings to others this season, I encourage you to start by guarding your own peace. In order to walk and remain in the peace Jesus brings, we need to be disciplined in where we allow our minds to go. And the things we allow ourselves to think about. Pastor Rick Warren, he's the pastor of a church out in California, Saddleback Church. He often says this, and it's such a great quote. Think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. Scripture tells us to do no less than that which Pastor Rick Warren says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it charges us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Think about what you think about. Take captive every thought in your mind and make it obedient to Christ. When it comes to living in peace and proclaiming peace, it's possible to lose the battle in our mind before our interaction with people has even begun. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation where you're in a fight or a disagreement with a relative or a friend or somebody that you work with, maybe a coworker, and the whole thing took place completely in your mind before you actually even got together. You ever been in that kind of a situation? Right? You're kind of planning out your plan of attack because you know it's going to be a tough getting together. So you know that he's going to say this or she's going to say that. So you're planning how you're going to respond to that before you've even gotten together. If you're trying to win your arguments before they even get started, how can you possibly hope to bring and proclaim peace when you spend actual time together? Sometimes we need to prepare our hearts and our minds for interactions that we know are going to be challenging. There's no question about that. However, rather than preparing to defend ourselves or to fight, perhaps our thoughts should prayerfully center on how we could do it differently this time. Peace proclaimers use wisdom and patience instead of jumping to conclusions or quickly misrepresenting other people's actions or intents. Peace proclaimers refuse to take offense when they feel slighted. They refuse to allow their own thoughts to turn a careless or insensitive comment into a personal attack. How many times do we do that? Somebody says something to us, and yeah, they shouldn't have said it the way they said it. But maybe they just didn't think it through. And we turn it into a personal attack on us. Peace proclaimers won't give themselves over to a rumor or to be offended by something that is based on one side of a story or another person's retelling of the story. Peace proclaimers always hope, always believe, and always endure. We all know that we can't make anybody change. We can't make anybody do much of anything, but you can proclaim peace. You can choose for yourself that this season you are going to proclaim peace in your life and you're going to demonstrate that to other people. How far are you willing to go to share the peace that you have in Jesus with people that you know? Are you willing to take the first step? Jesus was willing to go to the cross in order to allow us to have peace with God. Are you willing to take a stand this Christmas? These next 4 weeks. And say, I'm not going to let the busyness of the season, I'm not going to let the stresses, I'm not going to let the relational challenges that are before us the next 4 weeks overtake the peace that I have. Jesus crossed the chasm of heaven to make peace with us. The angels, they came to earth and they proclaimed it, as we read earlier in Luke chapter 2. Peace on earth to those whom His favor rests. In the midst of all the traditions, the celebrations, and even the obligations, will you put in the same effort? Will the way that you live your life this Christmas season make the same proclamation that the angels made? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son so that we can have peace with God. We ask that You increase our peace and pour out Your peace to others through us. This season, Lord God, let us be peacemakers who point others to the peace of Christ, to the hope that is found through relationship with Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Your mighty name. Amen.